Divine grace, O Boy Chadanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa. Puri Vrajak Acharya Astatera Sati Sri Srimad, Divine grace, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami, Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai. Iskan DVT Founder Acharya, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Acharya, Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Kamsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitana Brahmanita Ananda Shadaita Gadadha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vindi Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govina Shamakundradha Kundgiri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dhabadi Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Shramaveda Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvise Sasanyavari Puschachira Satharine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ah.
Hare Krishna. As you may know, when Krishna took birth, he changed a lot of things so everything would be auspicious. It was summer, he made the weather like autumn, moved the stars around so everything was auspicious. So today is such an auspicious day in so many ways, and I think we can all feel it in the atmosphere. And it's such an auspicious day to take advantage of. On Janmashtami, it should never be business as usual. It should be business as unusual as possible. Unusual in the sense that this is the day we want to take advantage of hearing and chanting as much as possible and being engaged. Because of the auspicious atmosphere, it's an opportunity to go deeper into our Krishna consciousness, to perhaps have realizations we haven't yet had, to understand something more about Krishna and his birth and why he comes and our position. So I'm just encouraging all of you, make this day special, don't make it ordinary, not business as usual. Make it unusual, abnormal, transcendentally abnormal. So I've been meditating on why Krishna comes, and of course, Krishna says why he comes. Paritanaya sadhunam, vinasaya chudusvitam, dharma samstarpanartaya. And in meditating on why Krishna comes, this morning we heard that Krishna came, one of the reasons he came, amongst many, was that Devaki and Vasudev wanted him to come. We also heard that Nrisimhadev came not to kill Hiranyakashipu, but to bless Prahlad. And so, in looking at the many reasons Krishna comes, it's so special to look at the reason he comes, which is for us. Not just Vasudev and Devaki, but for you, for me, for all of us. And so, Bhagavatam says, Krishna's coming, hearing Krishna Katha is Bhava Ashodhi, the medicine which will cure the disease of material life. Bhava, birth and death. So Krishna's coming for us to cure this disease. So I like to make it personal. Krishna is coming for me. Krishna is coming for you. What is he doing? He's performing his lila. Why? To attract us. To invite us. Why is Krishna on the altar playing his flute? Who is he inviting? To dance with him? You? Me? It's a personal invitation. Bhagavad Gita is a personal invitation. For what? To go back to Godhead. Excuse me, sir, would you like a Bhagavad Gita? It's an invitation to go back to Godhead. No, I'm not interested. But that's actually what it is. It's Krishna's personal invitation. So Krishna comes to please his devotees. He comes to satisfy his devotees. So in meditating on this, I was thinking that Krishna is always pleasing his devotees, isn't he? That's what he does. That's his business. So I began thinking, there's a problem. And I think the problem becomes obvious when you meditate on Krishna's love and how Krishna is coming to do lila for us. Ultimately, he's coming to do Rasa Lila, which is the highest Lila, which it shows the highest love, because he wants to show us this is what it's all about. And Prabhupada said many times, Krishna consciousness means to take you to the position where you will see Krishna and dance with Krishna, and the highest dance is Rasa Lila. It's the highest exchange of rasa. And Krishna is saying, this is what it's all about, and I want you to join that. That's what Krishna consciousness movement is. Like if someone asks you, well, what's this movement all about? And you say, well, the goal of this movement is to dance with God. And really, that's what it is. So Krishna's asking us, by Krishna giving us instruction and Krishna performing lila, really he's saying, I want you to be ready to dance with me. I want to prepare you to dance with me. So he says, man mana baba mad bhakto majiji man namaskaro. He says, sarva dhamman prajada. He says, tells us to do so many things. But actually he's doing that to us. And it's such a beautiful way of positioning these verses. Because the verse Krishna is asking us, man mana, think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your respects to me. But Krishna is actually doing that to his devotee, isn't he? Isn't Krishna always thinking of his devotees? Yes? Isn't Krishna devoted to his devotees? Yes? Isn't he paying obeisances? Sometimes asking for forgiveness? Telling his devotees, I can't repay you? So Krishna, what he's asking us to do, sarva dharma puritaja, give up everything and surrender. Didn't Mahaprabhu give up everything, give up his beautiful wife? Why? To go to the forest, as Ramchandra did, that verse, he went to the forest. Mahaprabhu goes to the forest, the material world, to take us. So the very thing that Krishna is asking us to do, he's actually doing to us. So when you look at those verses where Krishna's saying, do this, you can look at it as Krishna saying, I'm doing this for you and I'm just waiting for you to do this for me. Because that's love. That's rasa. And we say Krishna is the abode of rasa, right? So as they say in management, don't ask someone to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. So we can say that, yes, Krishna is not only willing to do it, he's already doing it, and he's asking us, I love you, will you do the things that I'm doing for you? Will you do them for me? And what do we say? Mañana. As they say in Mexico, why, what do they say? Why put off for tomorrow what you could do the day after tomorrow? Mañana Shakti. So we've been endowed with this Mañana Shakti. Krishna's saying, I love you. Don't worry if you surrender. It'll be okay because I love you. So oftentimes, when we're engaged in devotional service, it's a very subjective process. We're thinking about how we need to love Krishna. We are thinking about what we can do better to serve. We're thinking about the obstacles we need to overcome. And in many ways, our philosophy is couched in that context. It's about our journey, isn't it? And what's in the way. But sometimes it's beautiful and powerful, just turn it around. And instead of thinking about how I need to love Krishna, think about how much he loves us. And just meditate on that. Now, we often don't think that way, because sometimes we think, why would he love me? I'm just some schlump from New York or California or Venezuela or Colombia or wherever. So one time, a devotee went to Prabhupada and said, you know, it doesn't seem like Krishna would care about me. Feeling like, yeah, I'm just some ordinary sinful person that got some mercy, but why would he care about me? And so Prabhupada said, if you go to a doctor with an infected finger, and the doctor says, Well, what we're going to do is cut off your finger because you have 9 other fingers. This is an Indian doctor who says, no problem, right? We're cutting 1 finger, no problem, 9 fingers left, right? So what do you say? You say, oh, good idea, let's do it. No, you say, no, all my fingers are valuable, I don't want to lose. And the doctor's saying, but you have 9, it's only 1. So Prabhupada said, in the same way, although Krishna has so many devotees, everyone is important. He doesn't want to lose. So every one of you are important. So Krishna actually loves you. How does he love you? Well, some of you are thinking, well, my mother didn't love me. So, you know, how could God love me if even my mother didn't love me? So the good news is Krishna is not like your mother or your father. So if you had a problem with your mother and father, good news is they're not like them. He's not like them. Krishna does not know how to not love us. Krishna can't figure that out. How do you do that, right? Like, ask Badahari, how do you lead a bad kirtan? And he'll go, I don't know, you know. Ask Pangovinda, how could you give a class and not quote so many verses and so many authorities? He'll say, I don't know how to do that. You know? Ask an artist, how not to paint? You know, ask Satyarup Maharaj, how not to write? He'll go, I don't know how to do that. So ask Krishna how not to love the conditioned souls. So I don't know how not to love them, right? So perhaps on this day, we could, at least part of this day, kind of flip things around and just meditate on how much he loves us, and the proof or the manifestation of that love is that he came here to do Leela. Because you'll say, he didn't really have to come here to do Leela. You might say, well, you know, he likes to come and fight, you know? Well, actually in the spiritual world, Yogamaya creates some demons for him to fight. Then they just appear and disappear. So he actually doesn't have to come here. Did you know that periodically he goes to Mathura, Yogamaya creates a Kamsa, Krishna kills a Kamsa, and then Kamsa disappears. So he can even fight up there. He can fight with his cowherd boyfriends, right? So why did he come? He said, well, he came to deliver the conditioned soul. Let's make it personal. We are conditioned souls. He came to deliver us. You. Make it personal. Krishna loves us. Feel that. See everything in Krishna Leela as a manifestation of Krishna calling us and saying, I want you to enter deep in this Leela. This Leela is my love. And if you enter deeply in this Leela, you will experience my love. And you will be able to understand my attractive features, and you will want to reciprocate. You will want to love me. You won't hold back, because that's the problem. We hold back. So that's how I wanted to start. And I have a verse we're going to discuss that's on the board. We can chant it. This is the story of Krishna has appeared, and this is right at the point after Krishna has appeared, and Vasudeva and Devaki and Krishna are meeting, trying to figure out what they should do, because they're concerned that he appeared with 4 arms, kind of giveaway, that the person who's supposed to kill Kamsa, you know, is like, he's got his weapons, he's ready to fight, so we were afraid that Kamsa's going to be disturbed. So it starts there. Satascha Shorir Bhagavat Prachoditaha Sutam Samadhaya Sa Sutika Grihat Jadabahir Gantam Yeshatar Yaja Ya yoga maya ya jani nanda jaya ya. So let me read the word meanings. Tata, thereafter. Cha, Indeed, Shorihi Vasudev,
Bhagavat Prachodita,
being instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Sutam,
his son,
Samadhaya,
carrying very carefully,
Saha,
he,
Sutika
Grihat,
from the maternity room,
Jada,
when,
Bahi
Gantum,
to go outside,
Yesha,
desired,
Tarhi,
exactly at that time,
Aja,
the transcendental energy,
who also never takes
birth,
Ya,
who,
Yoga
Maya,
is known as
Yoga Maya,
Anjani,
took birth,
Nandajaya,
from the wife of Nanda Maharaj.
I don't know if I mentioned,
it's 10:347
for those who are watching.
Translation,
thereafter,
exactly when
Vasudev,
being inspired
by the Supreme
Personality of
Godhead, was
about to take
the newborn child
from the delivery
room,
Yogamaya,
the Lord's
spiritual energy,
took birth
as the daughter
of the wife
of Maharaj
Nanda.
So,
right
when
Vasudeva was
going to pick up Krishna
to take
Krishna
to Gokul,
Yogamaya
was born, Subhadra,
Krishna's sister.
Something else
happened that will be
in the purport.
Srila
Vishwanath
Chakravarti
Thakur
discusses that
Krishna appeared
simultaneously
as
the son of
Devaki
and
as the son
of Yashoda.
That
means when
Krishna
was appearing in
Mathura
in the
Vasudev
Vishnu feature,
Krishna
was appearing as the
son of Yashoda
in his
original form,
simultaneously
at the same time.
Usually,
we
read that Krishna
appeared as the son of
Devaki and
Vasudev.
We
don't hear
that he also appeared
as
the son
of Yashoda.
I mean, most
of you know that, but
it's,
in Prabhupada's
books, it's.
I mean, we're
reading it here in his
books, but
this is, I think, the
first time it
comes up,
10.347.
As
a son of Devaki,
he first appeared
as Vishnu,
and because
Vasudev was
not in the
position of pure affection
for Krishna,
Vasudev
worshipped his
son as Lord Vishnu.
Yashoda,
however,
pleased her
son Krishna
without
understanding
his godhood.
This
is the difference
between
Krishna
as the son of
Yashoda
and as
the son of Devaki.
This is explained
by Vishwanath
Chakravarti
Thakur.
So,
when
one of the
reasons
Krishna
appeared as
Vishnu with
four arms is
because
he wanted
to give assurance
that
although Kamsa
has been
harassing you,
I'm
Vishnu,
here are my
weapons,
you no
longer
have to worry.
But
Devaki,
as a
bona fide
mother, was worried.
And
what was she worried
about?
She was worried
about just a
dead giveaway.
You
look like
Vishnu,
and
Kamsa's
going to get really
riled up.
So
could you
take
the form
of a normal baby
with
two arms?
Which,
as we know,
Krishna
did.
So
what's
interesting now
is that
in Mathura,
you have
both
this Aishwarya,
so
you understand
Krishna's God,
but
sometimes
you don't
understand that
he's God.
So you have
both things,
right?
So sometimes
you see Devaki and
Vasudev,
they have this
affection for
Krishna
as mother
and father,
just like Yashoda. Ananda. And then sometimes they lose it and they just see Krishna as God. So now that he takes his form as a baby, they're dealing with him as a baby. And so Devaki is worried. So Krishna says, well, I think I should get out of here. And I think I should go. I said, Vasudev, you should take me to Gokul. So Vasudev's thinking, I'm in prison. I'm shackled. How am I going to get out of here? You know, we just hear the story, oh, he just got out, you know, Gogamaya, and he got there, you know. But Vasudev is actually thinking, how am I going to do this? This is going to be difficult. But Krishna was thinking, the only person who can get me out of prison is someone who is expert. And who's more expert than Vasudev? Look what Vasudev did when he confronted Kamsa on the chariot. If he wasn't expert, Kamsa would have killed both him and his wife. But because he was so expert, he was able to pacify him. And then Krishna's telling this to Kamsa. He said, no, you're expert. You can, to Vasudeva, no, you're expert. You can do this. He's saying, Vasudeva, you witnessed the killing of six children, and you're still sane. But for Devaki, when those children were killed, Yogamaya came and she fainted because if she saw it, she wouldn't be able to deal with it. She'd be traumatized. He said, but you're able to do this. You are expert. Therefore, I choose you. You're the right person. So Vasudev, he didn't really know how he was going to get out. You ever have a service and you don't really know how you're going to do it? Yeah, for like the first 3 years of my devotional service, I didn't know how to do anything. I'm like, okay, here are the books, go on Sankirtan. Yeah. So, here's the temple, you're the president now. Okay. A lot of us in this room had that experience. So it's a little bit like that. So Vasudev, on the encouragement of Krishna, says, okay, I will get up. And what happens when he gets up? As we all know, the shackle just was removed automatically. When you have service and Krishna wants you to do it and Krishna orders you, the shackles will break open. Whenever Krishna is there, Maya cannot act, right? The shackles of the material world cannot shackle us. So Krishna's there with Vasudev, so naturally the shackles open, right? Now there was a problem. I don't know if you know this, but there was not one, you know, he's in jail, so he has to get out of, what do you call the jail doors? Is there a name for them? Gate. No, it's called the gate. No. So that has to open. He has to get out of that. But there were 16 other gates that he had to get out of. And those 16 gates represent the 16 elements, the five working senses, the five knowledge acquiring senses, the mind, and the five elements. So he had to get out of that. Of course, again, he's with Krishna. So when you're entangled in the material world, if you're carrying Krishna, no problem to overcome those elements, right? And just like Krishna had entered the mind of Vasudev and into the heart of Devaki. This is such a beautiful analogy for us. It's not an analogy, it's a fact, but for us, this is Janmashtami. Allowing Krishna to take birth in our hearts. That's really what we want to do. Today, let Krishna take birth in all of our hearts and remain there. And when Krishna remains there, what happens? Now you have Krishna, the shackle opens up and the 16 gates, they open up. There was a problem. There were 16 guards, right? Well, you know, guards fell asleep. All right, but there was another 16 lions ready to eat you after you go through the gates. And there was another problem. 16 cement slabs that when you open the gate fall down on your head. So how did Vasudev, and the gates didn't open all at once, they opened one by one. He had to get through them one by one. How did he do it? Again, not a problem. Why not a problem? Because Krishna is in his heart. When something is meant to happen and Krishna gives you the order and you carry Krishna in your heart, then, as Mahaprabhu says, as Chaitanya Krishnadas Kaviraj says, easy things become difficult things become easy. So, there's another problem. By the influence of Yoga Maya, by Krishna's Shakti, he's able to get out of all the gates. So now what's the problem? The problem is, if Kamsa finds out there's this baby and Vasudeva is out of jail, it's going to be a big problem. You don't want to get on the bad side of Kamsa. Because, as we know, Kamsa could do anything and lose his mind, right? So, Vasudeva's actually really stressed out by this situation. Because he has to, okay, he's stressed out to get out of the prison. So you think, okay, he's out of the prison, everything's good. He's still stressed out because he has to get to Gokul, Braj, and he has to get there and not be seen. He has to get there and not wake anybody up. He has to exchange the babies and take Subhadra. And nobody can see him. How's he going to do that? Because if he's seen, he's not going to be able to execute the mission. So he's in anxiety. And in the commentary it said, similar idea, he has Krishna with him, he's carrying Krishna, so he's in anxiety, but he's blissful because Krishna's with him. So even if you're doing, have you ever been in anxiety and devotional service? Anybody? Anybody? Possibly somebody here? It's happened? Has it happened to anybody here? Little anxiety? Yeah. I see a lot of former temple presidents here. Yeah. They're trying to say, I didn't know what anxiety was until I joined the Hare Krishna movement and took over that temple. Right? Yeah. Prabhupada was also in anxiety with Juhu, and so were the devotees. The devotees would say, Prabhupada, I'm in anxiety. Prabhupada would say, so am I. But this anxiety is blissful because it's for Krishna. So we have this strange experience of being in anxiety, and sometimes the greater the anxiety, the more the bliss, isn't it? Because the anxiety is for Krishna, it's service. So Vasudev was in anxiety, but because he was carrying Krishna, he was blissful. So don't ever shy away from devotional service because it's difficult. I think so many of us can say the most blissful time was the time which was the most difficult, and we saw how Krishna, by his potency, helped us. Yes? All of you sitting here, maybe younger devotees, who've never taken that leap off the mountain in faith that Krishna will catch you, if you ever have that opportunity, do it. Because it's the most blissful thing to be caught by Krishna when you jump off that mountain. But when you jump off the mountain, I have one little advice. Don't lose faith while you're jumping, because if you do, Krishna will move away and you'll crash. But as long as you have faith that Krishna will catch you, he will. So now what to do? How is he going to get from Mathura? He's going to walk, right? There's no rickshaws. It's midnight, right? It's So this is happening right after he appeared. It was not long. It was like this happened very quickly. Right? Krishna appears. Krishna's sister appears, Subhadra, and then Vasudeva puts Krishna, puts some cloth in a basket, puts Krishna in the basket, it's going to carry him. Total anxiety, finally gets out, still in anxiety. What is going to happen? I'm going to be seen. Indra comes to do some service. Indra creates like torrents of rains, right? So when it rains really, really hard, what do? You just go for a walk and go, oh, it's raining hard, let's go outside. You know? Well, maybe in the middle of the summer here, some kids might do that. But generally, when it rains really hard, everybody goes inside, right? So it rains hard, Indra makes it rain hard, so everybody goes inside. Everybody inside stays inside, and rain is very soothing. And so it's raining, it's inside, just go to sleep. Right? So by this arrangement, Indra made to do seva, right? So there was no one on the street, so he could go. But problem, it's raining and Krishna's getting wet. So we need it to rain, so no one will be on the street, but Krishna's getting wet. So Sesha comes, and the interesting thing about Sesha coming was Prangovinda was talking this morning about cooperation. Well, here's an example of cooperation, because Sesha is the one who carries Krishna, right? Isn't that his job? He's the bed, carries Krishna. So Sesha comes, and now Vasudeva's carrying Krishna. So Sesha doesn't think, who are you? It's my job. Get out of here. No. Do you ever think like that? Did anyone ever tell you? Or maybe you haven't thought that way. Sometimes you're doing a service and someone goes, that's my service. That ever happened to you? Transcendental bliss, ecstasy. Sometimes it's not so nice. So, Sesha comes and instead of thinking, that's my service, get out of here, he thinks, okay, well, Vasudeva's already carrying him, so I can do the service from above. But then he thinks, but if I go above, what's going to happen? Vasudeva's going to see these snakes. Ah! He's going to faint or drop the baby. So he comes from the back. Vasudeva can't see him, but he covers. But there's a problem. The clouds were thinking, Krishna took birth, he was breastfed by Mother Yasoda, now he's going to Vrindavan, breastfed by Devaki, he'll be breastfed by Yasoda, now he's going to Vrindavan, he hasn't taken a bath, I have to give him a bath. And Sesha knew this, so Sesha would back off a little bit, so a little water could get on Krishna to give him a bath, and then when Sesha thought, oh, this is too much water, he would then cover so Krishna wouldn't get sick. So I was thinking, to say, can you give class on Janmashtami? You have an hour. It's like, wow. It's like, every leela is so deep, you'll never get to the bottom of it. In 75 hours, you just still appetize it. But that's the beauty of it. There's so much there. So he gets there. Now, how is he going to get in the palace exchange? So it said that Vasudeva, it's another verse, said Vasudeva was like the sun. Because when the sun rises, it doesn't make noise. Isn't that kind of interesting? The sun is like traveling, but there's no noise. So Vasudeva was like the sun. He didn't make any noise. He just came in. And he came in quietly. Now, something interesting happened. I'm going to digress a little bit because I find it interesting. I hope you find it interesting. Maybe you already know this, but so Vasudeva is carrying Vasudeva, Krishna, who is in his Vasudeva feature, is being carried by his father, and Jasoda has given birth to Krishna and Subhadra. Jasoda was, she doesn't even know who she gave birth to because she's asleep or fainted. And this Vasudev Krishna, this Devaki Nandan Krishna, sees the Jasoda Nandan Krishna. And he's attracted to that Krishna. Because they're actually two different Krishnas. And he's thinking, I want to be close to that Krishna. So Vasudev puts him down, and he's really close. They merge together. So the Vasudev Krishna and the Jasoda Krishna are merged together, which explains why we all heard this. When Krishna kills the demons in Braj, it's actually Vasudev, because he's there. He's doing that job, right? And when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, it's Vasudev who leaves. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavana Paritaja. Krishna never gives up Vrindavan. Not one step. Na padam. Not one step out of Vrindavan. And Krishna left Vrindavan. Like, how did that happen? So that Vasudev feature leaves Vrindavan. But when that Vasudev feature is out of Vrindavan, we have heard stories that he's thinking of Vrindavan, which kind of doesn't make sense because it's Vasudev. And Vasudev's place is Mathura or Dwarka. Right? That's his place. That's where he belongs. If you're a devotee of Vasudev, you belong in Mathura or Dwarka. Right? So why is this Vasudev thinking about Vrindavan? Because that Vasudev merged in the body of Krishna and spent those 11 years in Vrindavan. So he actually grew up in Vrindavan, like some of our young boys here grew up in Mayapur, Vrindavan. So, you know, that's their place. They miss it, right? They think about it. So this Vasudev was with Krishna, doing the leelas with Krishna. So he was feeling separation, even though it was Vasudev. So anyway, as we know, Vasudev puts down baby Krishna. Then the question may be, but now he's picking up Maya. He left Krishna and he's picking up Maya, so now there's going to be trouble. Right? There was no trouble when you have Krishna, but when you have Maya, then there's trouble. Yes? Yes or yes? Yes. We all have experience. We don't have to talk about it. But he didn't have trouble, and he got back into the palace, unseen, locked all the doors, went back into the cell, and shackled himself. Why didn't he have trouble? Well, the acharyas say, because even if you have a little Krishna consciousness, if Maya comes, still that Krishna consciousness will overcome. So because he carried Krishna, he had Krishna, even though now he's carrying Maya, it's not sufficient enough. Like Apichet Sudarachara. So a devotee who's sincere, who gives their life to Krishna, even sometimes Maya comes, but it's insignificant. It doesn't really do much. It's not really going to stop them. So that's one commentary. But there's another commentary, which is really interesting and kind of funny. So what did Vasudev do? Well, he's carrying Maya. He gets in the prison. He locks all the doors, puts himself in the cell, and then he shackles himself up. And what did we say those gates represent? 16 gates, 16 elements, the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, the mind, and the five gross elements, which is the material entanglement. So one commentator says, this is the way Maya works. You just entangle yourself. He locked himself up. He said, Maya is so strong. No, you're locking yourself up. You know, Maya is so strong. Yeah, Prabhu, there's also Yoga Maya. You have a choice. In case you did, just saying, in case you didn't know, you have a choice. So Vasudeva is showing here that he's giving this example that this is the way Maya works. You just lock yourself up. Now there's another thing I wanted to say. Wanted to talk about, we were talking about water and the cloud. And so when Krishna was going, the cloud was thinking, well, Patra Pushpam Palam Toyam, I don't have Patra Pushpam Palam. I only have water. I don't have fruit flower. I have water. So I will bathe Krishna. That's my seva, right? And so, and speaking of water, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan to pass by the residence of Vrindavan, when he got there, he asked, where's the palace of Nanda and Yashoda? And someone said, well, you see these two rivers. He said, these two rivers, you just follow them. And at the end of the river, that's the palace. And then he said, what's up with the rivers? And he said, oh, those are the tears of Nanda and Yashoda that they've been crying since Krishna left Vrindavan. Rivers of tears. And when Krishna was in Mathura, he was in the palace of Vasudeva and Devaki. This is after he came back from school. And he looked out from the palace and he saw an ocean. And he's thinking, there's no ocean here. What's going on? And then he said, he realized that the residents of Braj are crying so much that the Jamuna is now the size of an ocean. That really affected him. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the acharyas say, Patra Pushpam Palam Toyam, the water that they're talking about are tears. Offer tears to Krishna. Sometimes we say, Hola Prabhu! Well, we don't usually say Prabhus, because Prabhus don't usually cry unless you punch them in the face, then they cry. So, that Mataji, she's sentimental. Well, actually, some men do cry sometimes. So we say, oh, you're sentimental, you're crying. But here, the tears are the offering of water. That's the best water you can offer, your own tears, in feeling separation. So, so when Krishna, so I'll just end this class, we have 5 minutes with some tir katha, just take it. So when Krishna saw that ocean, it's like it hit him like anything. Like these residents of Braj, they're suffering. I need somebody to go because I can't go back. And as soon as he thought I need somebody to go, Uddhava showed up. And Uddhava saw Krishna crying, and Uddhava, he's in this Aishwarya Bhav, and he could not, why is Vishnu crying? He couldn't understand. And Krishna thought, yeah, Uddhava doesn't understand. He's the best person to go because he'll understand by going to Vrindavan. So then the question comes up, it's like, well, why didn't Krishna just go back to Vrindavan? And there are many, 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 many reasons. But existentially, the reason is that now Jarasandha, Krishna knows that now Jarasandha is going to come and try to take over Mathura. And he knows if I am in Vrindavan, then Jarasandha's armies are going to come. And Jarasandha was buddies with Dantavakra, Sishupala, and Kalyavana. So they had like huge armies. And so Krishna thought, I can't be in Vrindavan because those armies will be there. And Krishna thought, Kamsa is sending all these asuras. If I'm in Vrindavan, these asuras come. I have to stay in Mathura to protect. So Krishna is pain. Krishna is feeling love for the residents of Vrindavan, and he wants to pacify them because he knows he can see that ocean. So he sends Uddhava back, and then Uddhava gets this realization to understand what is love of Krishna from the experience of the residents of Braja. Now, One of the most interesting things about this is that, as we said, it's only Vasudev Krishna who left, so Krishna never left Vrindavan. So naturally we think, why was Krishna so ungrateful to not go back? Or we think, and or, if Krishna never left Vrindavan, why are they feeling separation? And so the Acharyas explain, it's because they were crying so much, there were so much tears on their face, or we could say, their tears, basically, their face was tears, that even though Krishna was in front of them, they couldn't see him. And for that moment they stopped crying, they could see him, but they thought they were hallucinating, that Krishna wasn't there. And then one gopi would say, no, I see him, it's right, he's right there. And the other gopi would say, no, he's not there. You have so much love for Krishna that you see him everywhere. So in this way, Krishna never left Vrindavan. But the gopis were feeling separation, intense separation. And that was Krishna's will. That was Krishna's desire. Now, I want to end with something, but kind of will finish from where I started. We were talking about the love that Krishna has for us and how often we think of the love we need to have for him, but we don't allow ourselves to meditate on the love he has for us. Or maybe we doubt that he loves us. One of the many reasons Krishna didn't go back to Vrindavan was that Krishna was embarrassed. What was he embarrassed by? Krishna always feels embarrassed in the presence of his devotees that they have so much love for me, so much more love for me that I can't repay them. Just like we know Krishna said to the gopis, I can't repay you. So, Krishna, why don't you go back to Vrindavan? They're suffering. What's wrong? And Krishna's saying, I can't go back. Why can't you go back? He said, because I can't see them. Because I'm totally embarrassed because I can't repay them. So the example is given. Just like Prangovinda loans me some money. He's so kind, he loans me money. And now I realize I can't pay him back. And all the devotees are like, why aren't you coming to the temple anymore? Because I can't see Prangovinda. Because I'm too embarrassed. Because, I invested the money. I lost it all. I can't tell him. I can't go. I can't repay him. I can't see him. So Krishna felt that the wealth of the gopis' love, the wealth of the Brajvasis' love is so great, I can't repay them. I can't see them. I'm too embarrassed. Is that amazing? So I think it's so important for us in our Krishna consciousness and our bhakti to enter into the mind of Krishna and how he's feeling towards his devotees, the love he's feeling, because sometimes we doubt it because material life is tough, right? And so sometimes we doubt that love. But again, we always should remember Krishna cannot not love us, and Krishna is manmana bhava madbhakto. He's becoming our devotee. He's loving us, he's thinking of us. The more we do that for him, the more he does it for us. And he even feels he can't repay us. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go premanandi. Hare Hare. So it looks like the Abhishek is still just now coming. So I guess we could take some questions or comments. Anyone want to churn the ocean of nectar? Yeah, Adi Karta?
Great class, thank you very much, Adi Krishna. So which books were you reading where you get a lot of those?
This was verse 10.347, and what I discussed went all the way, I think, through 49.
No, I mean about the gopis' tears. They couldn't see Krishna anymore.
Oh, where's that from? Different commentaries, different books.
Which ones?
Priya Bhagavatamrita, Gopal Champu, Bhagavatam commentaries, Sanatana Goswami, Krishna Chakravarti.
Anyways, yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I think it's always a puzzle in everyone's mind. I think it seems like Krishna's ungrateful. He should go back and pacify them. There's another reason, the Acharyas explained. He didn't want to go back because he knew if he went back, he was going to have to leave. He had business out of Vrindavan. And he thought if he goes back and leaves again, the Vrajvasis will die. It's better I don't go back. Yes.
Yes, well, thank you. Yes, so darling. You were talking about the, when we are in anxiety or things become very difficult, that's when we have the most bliss. So, one, if you could elaborate on that, and kind of like this, the reason behind it. And the other thing is that I was thinking something like, we're so much in illusion all the time, and we don't want to just walk out of that illusion, and so Krishna pushes us.
Yeah.
And we unwillingly have to things happen to us. We didn't ask for the unhappiness.
Yes.
So it seems like the bliss might come from a closer connection with our true identity, the soul. We're feeling that more.
Well, philosophically, we know that the spiritual nature is made of the Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit Shakti, so Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. There's only Ananda. That's what it's made of. There can't be anything but Ananda. So if we're not in Ananda, something's wrong. Right? We're connected with the modes of nature. So like you do a service, it's difficult. It could, that anxiety could throw you into some kind of tamagun or rajagun. You're angry, frustrated, or whatever. So now we're interacting with those modes. But the service is transcendental. We're just not connected with consciousness. But I have a story. Maybe you heard this story. They were going to get a temple in Toronto, and it was very expensive. And Prabhupada, the temple was described. And then when they told Prabhupada how much it was, it was so expensive, Prabhupada said, if we buy the temple, we're just going to buy anxiety. You know that story? We're just going to buy anxiety. He's just always going to be collecting money to pay for the building. So later, Prabhupada came back to that city, Toronto, and he said, what about the temple? And he said, oh, Prabhupada, it's still there. Because they didn't pursue it because Prabhupada said, we don't want to buy anxiety. And he described the temple, because they planned the whole building out already. There's where the deities will go, this is where the kitchen will go. It was a church, and they planned it all out. So he was describing it. And so Prabhupada said, did you get it? Prabhupada told him not to get it. That's what he said. No, Prabhupada, we don't want to buy anxiety. And Prabhupada said, we must have anxiety, otherwise simply sleep. So if Krishna thinks we're going to sleep, then he might, like you say, push us a little bit. But I think also we have to be willing for that. Because if we're not willing, we can, escape Krishna's pushing if we want. But if you're like, Krishna, I'm lazy, and I like everything comfortable, and I know it's not good for my spiritual life, would you just push me? If you're brave enough to do that, then he will. And then, the next day you'll get a call from the GBC. We got this center and, this place, and the president just left, and we were thinking you and your husband could go there and take it over. I mean, I've had experience like that. It's actually dangerous to surrender. I had an experience like that. It happened in 10 minutes after I said, Krishna, okay, I'm just going to do whatever you want. 10 minutes later, I was called over. We need you to go to the GBC called me and said, we need you to go to this place. So, if you are ready to surrender, you can do that. You can see what happens. If you're not ready, then I would advise that because Krishna will hear you. I can tell another story. One of my godbrothers, he had some problem, and he was in charge of a temple. He was actually in charge of a whole area, and he had some problem, and it created a lot of problems in that area, and I had to go there, and it was hell, basically, to deal with it. The temple president had totally turned against him. He was his disciple, and now he was criticizing, blaspheming, polluting the whole community. It was, you know, not something you want to deal with. And I was dealing with it, and I was thinking, thank you, Prabhupada, it's such an honor to if I don't undergo anxiety for you, I'm just going to undergo it for sense gratification. So what an honor to undergo anxiety for you. Isn't it a fact? The world's full of anxiety. If it's not for Krishna, it's going to be for somebody. So I've been in situations in my life where the service was extremely difficult. But one thing I learned from that, one blessing I got from that, whenever I was in a difficult situation after that, it seemed it was never as difficult as that situation. And everybody's saying, this is so difficult. And I say, you ain't seen nothing, Prabhu. You should have been where I was in this temple. You couldn't believe it. You know, and I tell them stories of what happened, and they're like, oh my God, that's worse than this. So it has its blessings, you know, in strengthening you and teaching you tolerance. So I would say, you know, what's more blissful? Being in anxiety for devotional service or being in anxiety for your sense gratification? Easy answer, right? So that's my personal experience. And we were having class Saturday we're having class with some devotees, and we were talking about faith. They were asking me questions about faith, and I just said, my personal experience is that the greater your faith, the greater Krishna shows up. So if you're ready to jump off the mountain, he'll show up. But just don't doubt him while you're in midair, because then, you know, you're going to land on the ground. So, you know, my motto is test Krishna's promise. He says, I'll do this. Why don't you test it? Do you believe it? Well, if you believe it, test, you know. Krishna says, I'll catch you. Okay, why don't you jump? I mean, do you actually believe it? And if you believe it, he'll catch you. And if you don't, he won't. And that's Yayatam Mamprabhajanti. At least that's my experience. So, Prabhupada wrote me a letter, and he said, you should think, I was temple president at that time, and I was a very young devotee, and he said, you should think that if Krishna doesn't help you do this job, everyone in the temple will leave. You know, because I definitely felt unqualified to do it, but I was asked to do it. And sometimes, you know, you feel unqualified, but you're asked to do it, and you just go, you think, well, I guess Krishna wants this, so I'll do it. There's no one else to do it. I'm being asked. Maybe this is what he wants. So I did that, and I felt totally unqualified. So Prabhupada said, but if you feel unqualified, then Krishna will give you the qualification, because there's a gap there. But if I'm the man, you know, we're going to get this temple together, you know. Before me here, this temple was in shambles. I actually saw a temple president. He came to a temple, and that's basically what he said. We're going to get it together now. We're going to do this and that. Like, everything was horrible before he came. And about 3 months later, he was removed from that temple. And that's usually how it happens. So when you go willingly into that position thinking, you know, I'm not qualified to do this, but it looks like Krishna wants me to do it. And Prabhupada said, that gap that you create in your consciousness, Krishna fills it. So I would encourage all the young devotees, you are in a different position than we are. When we joined, there was nobody to do it. We had to do it. Now, you young people, you go, well, if I don't do it, Mahatma Prabhu will do it. Vaikunthi will do it. Badhari will do it. Swami Govinda will do it. Yeah. Well, no good. No good. You should take a little jump. If you don't want to jump off a big mountain, jump off a small mountain. We had to do that. We were forced. And I think all of us will say, that was the best thing we ever did. We had no choice. We did it. And Krishna came and filled the gap. And our faith grew and grew and grew and grew. And we saw, we made so many mistakes, but we learned. And we became more and more expert at it. So I would encourage all the younger devotees, just take the leap. Don't think, even if you can't do it, but if you're inspired to do it, or you feel Krishna wants you to do it, just do it. Krishna will. And do it like Prabhupada told me. Feel yourself incapable. And then Krishna will help you. Did I answer the question you asked? Because I had a hard time hearing what you were saying. Or I don't even know if you asked a question, or you were just making a statement. Anyway, it's a question. Okay.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Siddhartha Shama Sundar ki jai, Nitai Go Premanandi Hari Hari. Yeah. Ramasandra, you're putting it.